McShane Bible Study Day 302, and we have two chapters of 2 Kings today, 2 Kings 10 and 11, and these are pretty bloody chapters, aren't they? Mm-hmm. So Jehu slaughters Ahab's descendants, right? He goes through, there's 70 different sons of Ahab, meaning they were descendants of Ahab, right? So they might have been like cousins to the king that he's already killed. And he writes to the people and says, hey, if you're, you know, they're all there in your city. If you're behind them, make one of them king and let's go to battle. And they said, man, they already killed two kings. We can't go up against him. And so he said, well, then if you're with me, give me their heads. And he did. And then most of the people were with him. And then they came back to Samaria, and he has the, he tricks him. He says, we're going to have a great feast to Baal. I'm going to be the best king of serving Baal ever. Everyone in the kingdom that worships Baal, come to this party. And so they came, they make sure there's no one that follows the Lord there, and then they kill them all, burn it down. And Jehu reigns, and God speaks to him and says, because you have done this, you've cleaned up the evil of Ahab, I will bless you to the fourth generation. Your kids will stay on the throne. But he didn't, and we don't really have the details. Like, were there priests around telling him, hey, you really need to follow after the way of Moses and stop the ways of Jeroboam? Or, well, we don't know. But he didn't. He continued to go after the sins of Jeroboam. Remember what Jeroboam said? I'm afraid if the people go to Jerusalem to worship, they'll start following him. They'll start following after the king of Judah. So he built the gold calves in Dan and Bethel. And so Jehu continued after those ways. And so he didn't end his life well, but God was pleased with him for cleaning up the evil of Ahab. And he reigned for 28 years. And then in 2 Kings 11, we go back to Judah, right? So we're flipping back and forth a little bit between the kings of Israel, kings of Judah. And Athaliah, now remember, she was a daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And she had married the king of Judah. And then she had been the mother of the king of Judah that just died. Mm-hmm. Right? So we see some, so that's why, like, they were hanging out. Mm. Right? They were cousins. Remember you asked, I think, yesterday, well, why was he hanging out with the king of Israel? Well, his father had made a poor decision of marrying a daughter from that house. And so now, you know, he's just born into a situation where that's his cousin. Right? So they're both kings of neighboring kingdoms, and they're cousins. So that's why they were hanging out. Well, now, and they've got more family, and Jehu just happens to run across some of them coming to visit, and so he kills them, right? Or was that in the last chapter? Sorry, I'm just kind of going through. Let's see. The first verse of 2 Kings 11 was, now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal family. So Athaliah decides she does not want her place to be moved. She wants all the power for herself. Mm-hmm. And so she kills all the sons of, I don't know what it means by the royal family. Does that mean every son of David? Because there are many generations past. Or does that mean just every son of her husband, of her son? She's a pretty brutal woman, right? She loves power so much, she's willing to kill
family members.
Her family, right? So she can keep power. But her hides away one of her, or maybe it's a granddaughter. Is it her daughter or granddaughter? Sister of Ahaziah, daughter of King. Yeah, so her daughter hides away. Sorry, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to take time figuring that out right now. Hides away her grandson, who's a baby, mm-hmm. right? And hides him away for 6 years. And then after 6 years, presents him to the priest. Well, the priest was already involved in this. And I think the priest was actually, it doesn't say it in this chapter, but I think in Chronicles it lets us know the priest was hiding him. But she takes him there. And when he's seven, he brings him out, right? Presents him. And so for 6 years, this woman reigned. Now you would think, how could God let that happen? Because this is an evil woman who's worshiping after Baal, the ways of Ahab, which we just saw him clean out Israel from the ways of Ahab. And now you have in Judah this evil woman running Judah for 6 years. You would think that the religious mind, the mind that doesn't quite understand God's timing, how could God possibly let that happen, right? But is God in a hurry?
No.
God didn't want this to happen, right? This is based on the poor decisions of the kings that came before. They let the evil into the house, right? He's allowed, but he has made a promise to David, right? And so he had a way. He preserved a way that this would all turn out okay. But that doesn't mean there's not difficulty along the way. You see that? So I'm trying to give you a life lesson because, you know, these books are very much history, but we can pull out lessons for our life and our understanding and our way of worshiping and following the Lord by just seeing his hand at work. If you lived in that time and this evil woman became king for 6 years, you would think God is just, you know, where's God, right? I don't know what you'd think. You'd think God's left us, God doesn't love us anymore, you know, but none of that's true. 6 years, it's a pretty long time, right? But God had a plan. God made a way. And now, in the seventh year, presents itself. So the priest presents him, he explains to all the guards, and then they start blowing the trumpets, and then the queen finds out that what's happening. She starts saying treason, treason. It's funny how it's treason when somebody else puts the rightful king on, but it wasn't treason when she killed the whole royal family. It's how, in the flesh, we care about ourselves in our own ways, right? So in the spirit, we have to say, well, what's true? What's right? I'm not caring about myself. She very much cared about herself. And so, you know, Joash is made king, and the very last verse tells us he's 7 years old when he begins to reign, right? And we'll continue that story next time. Whoops, we're recording. I didn't hit the button yet. I think it just started there for some reason. 2 Timothy 1. You know, I always quote, and I do prefer it, the Romans 8 talking about, Romans 8 talks about the spirit of sonship being the opposite of the spirit of fear, right? But this is a pretty good verse, 7. It says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Right? So when we're operating under the spirit of sonship, the life that we're truly called to, we have the power of the Lord with us. We operate in love, and we have control over ourselves, right? If we are under fear, we are not walking in the Lord at all. Make sense? Verse 9, he says, he's talking about not being ashamed. It's power of God. Verse 9, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. So he's allowed us to be a part of this, not because we're special, not because we're great. If we examine ourselves, we know it's quite the opposite of that, right? But it's because of his purpose. He has a purpose. He's chosen to use us to fulfill it. in whatever way he sees best. Not whatever way we imagine might be your best, but whatever way he sees best. And his grace brings it about, right? Provides all the power, just as we saw. Did God's promise to David come through in Joash? Yes, it might have looked impossible for a minute. But God always has a way, right? Mm-hmm. And so he provided that way. And so the same with us in our life. Not because we're good or special, but when we give our lives to the Lord, he says, ah, here's one I can use. We saw, you know, early in Jehu's life, he didn't end up well. But at that moment, he was like, I'm going to do exactly what God has put me here to do. Jeroboam didn't do that. First king of Israel, right? Mm-hmm. He said, all right, God made me king. He knew God made him king. Mm-hmm. But he said, now that I'm king, I'm going to set up my own ways. Jehu knew God made him king. And what did he do? He said, well, God said Ahab's family is supposed to be destroyed, so I'm going to do it. And he was very thorough about that, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, he has a purpose, so now he's not going to have us go around killing anybody, right? Those were brutal times. That's the way the world worked back then. But in our times, he is going to use us as we give ourselves to him, mm-hmm. in whatever way he deems right, right? Of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. He's had this plan that he's working out before time even began. Mm-hmm. You see that? All right, that's all I had about that chapter. Whoops, we're recording again. Hopefully not all our reading was recorded. The app does that sometimes. I think it just turns on as soon as I open the app. It usually only turns on when I hit the record button. Okay, so Hosea 2, remember, he's making Hosea's life a parable, right? Mm-hmm. He had him marry a prostitute, and then they had kids, and he gave them weird names.
Weird names.
And he says to the, and so now he says, say to the people, you know, you are my people. You have received mercy. Basis plead with them to turn away, because they have grown up. And it's kind of like what I was just saying about Jehu. Like, we don't know, did he even think about leaving the sins of Jeroboam? Or had he just grown up his whole life? That's all the people have been doing for 100 years. Right? You understand? It can be difficult when you grow up in a system mm-hmm. to conceive that things in that system are evil. Mm-hmm. I actually think it's quite a blessing that I was outside of the church system before I came to Christ. Mm-hmm. Because it allowed me to come in with fresh eyes and open and see. And not to say that I was above picking up a bad habit or religious way or whatever. I did, you know. I was very much into charismatic things and seeking after those things for a long time. And saw many of those things. For instance. But when you grow up in a system, you can just assume that it's all well and good, because that's what people have always done, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's calling the country their mother. Mm-hmm. You see that? Mm-hmm. He's saying, your mother has done these things, and you've grown up in this, but you must turn away from these things. He says, my judgment will come upon these ways, and these ways will be utterly destroyed. But I will preserve a remnant mm-hmm. and bless that remnant. And so you need to choose to be a part of that remnant, not a part of the country being judged and, you know, destroyed. Mm-hmm. He ends with saying, and I will have mercy on no mercy. Remember, no mercy was, I forget, a daughter. And I will say to not my people, you are my people. Was that a son, I think? And I will say to not my people, you are my people. And he shall say, you are my God. So again, he's using the parable of his family. But he's talking about the people. Mm-hmm. You see that? Okay. Finishing with Psalm 60 and 61. And you asked an interesting question. What was your question?
What makes it so useful for teaching?
So Psalm 60 in the ESV, the introduction says for instruction. The NLV says useful for teaching. So that's part of the heading of the psalm. And so it starts out, O God, you have rejected us, broken our defenses. You have been angry, O restore us. You have made the land a quake. You have torn it open. Repair its breaches, for its totters. Well, that's pretty similar to what happened if when we were just talking about. If you were a citizen of Judah and this evil queen Athaliah kills the royal family and declares herself queen and that everyone should worship the Baal, Baal himself, then it's kind of like what he's just talking about, right? Oh God, you have rejected us, broken our defenses. You have been angry. Restore us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Similar thing. So it's actually a similar teaching I was just giving you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so David was going through something else in his situation. He was striving with these two guys we don't remember. And Joab had just returned from striking down 12,000 in Edom. And verse 3 says, you have made your people see hard things. You have given us wine to drink that made us stagger. So God, you've mm-hmm. given us some difficult times,
mm-hmm.
right? You have set up a banner for those who fear you, that they may flee to it from the bow. So that's exactly what we just talked about, right? He's given difficult times, but he set up a way for his people, right? Mommy's locked up. There's the door. Okay. So this has happened over and over and over again throughout history of God's people. And it happens in our personal lives. God, why am I going through this difficult time? Well, instead of just moaning and complaining, mm-hmm. Lord, show me what you're doing here. Show me what I need to learn from this. Show me how I need to grow.
Uh-huh.
Right? Show me the way I should go forward from here. And sometimes, a lot of times, there's no immediate answer to that. It's simply waiting on the Lord and watching how things unfold.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
There is tremendous growth that happens in waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's not the way our flesh ever wants it. But as we mature, we begin to understand, well, there's something valuable for me in waiting. And so, Lord, I wait on you. Right? Psalm 61, also of David. I'm going to just do the last, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4 verses. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. So David's praying to God. He says, look, I've committed my life in this kingdom to you. Right? And you have blessed me with the blessing of those who give their life to you, your promised mm-hmm. people, right? 6, so now he's making a request. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. So now he's making a request, right? May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So as I've given myself to you, make your promises true in my life, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That your blessing, your grace, your power, as Paul said to Timothy, right? Go with me wherever I go, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I, verse 8, so will I ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. So as I live my life for you, through you, with you, I will praise your holy name and bring you glory in this world. And that's what we're made for. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have. You have anything else?
No. God bless you.
God bless you.